It's okay. So Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart be also. And I think that's true, right? Because most of us, Christian or not Christian or whatever background you come from, the reality is that we live by what we receive in our paychecks. And so it's very hard to say, well, just don't worry, sometimes when you're living paycheck to paycheck. There is also a temptation about money to maybe we'll get ahead of the game if we do certain things that are kind of financially risky. And I want to talk to you about that today, too. But most of all, I think before we look at anything in regards to investing and anything like that, we need to talk about the big D word, debt. Staying out of debt. Proverbs 22:7 says this, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. And what's interesting is that in the ancient world, that was actually true. See, today we have credit cards, but back in the day, if you borrowed somebody and you could not pay that debt back, you could sell yourself into slavery. This was the ancient form of credit cards. So you would work for somebody for so many years or however long until you paid off your debt. That was one way of doing it. The other way was if you owed a great amount of money to somebody, maybe you had a gambling debt or I don't know what happened, you could be thrown into debtor's prison. In fact, up until recent times, that was used. Charles Dickens, in his book, The Christmas Carol, there's a part in there where they talk about the workhouses. Now, aren't there enough workhouses for the poor? And so you would go to the workhouses if you really couldn't afford to live or there was prostitution. And so it was really bleak. Nowadays, we have credit cards. And credit cards is some of the worst interest rates you will ever see, is the worst kind of debt to get yourself into, in that it can involve usury. And usury in the Bible is basically, that's called loan sharking. And what it is it's a high, exorbitant amount of interest that you pay on something. So credit cards are basically, they can be anywhere up to 23 to 27%. Now, don't let that fool you. A lot of these guys say, 0% interest for the introductory period. But when you're not watching, when that first year is over, you can start paying anywhere from 23 to 27%. Think about that. That is over a quarter. You know, that basically, that's like $25 to $27 on every $100. Every year, but if it compounds, now add that into the 1,000, now 2,000. Now this is the thing that's insidious about credit cards, is that if you use credit cards as a loan, it's a bad idea. Please, if you've already gotten the debt, you want to try to get out of that credit card debt as quickly as possible. You can transfer it onto another credit card with a lower interest rate, but the problem is that in about a year or so, that rate is going to jump up again. See, credit cards are based on what's called APR, annual percentage rate. And they calculate that daily, and it's what's called compounded interest. And if you don't pay on time, not only do you have to pay the interest charge, you have to pay a late fee. And all this can stack up, it can add up. And so if you're just doing that minimum payment, you will get so deep, so fast, in a mess that you don't want to be in. Now, again, I don't say this to anybody's shame. I've been there myself. Sometimes we get into debt because things happen in our life. People get sick. People die in our family. And maybe their income helped us out, right? If you had grandma living with you or somebody and they were getting Social Security and you guys all lived together, but she's gone now. That happens. And all of a sudden, your job doesn't make enough, and so you're just barely making it. So don't feel any shame. I mean, we get into these situations a lot of times, not because of anything we've really done, but because of certain circumstances that come along our way. Now, just think of it like this. Would you put a small shark in your pocket? Baby shark in your pocket. You would never do that, right? Because every time you reach into your pocket, it would bite. Okay, that's the thing you need to think about when you pull out that credit card. It is a miniature loan shark. It's going to bite you. Okay, that thing has teeth. What you do with the credit card is you use it to make purchases and to record those purchases, and you pay it off at the end of every month. Okay? Let's all say that together. Pay it off at the end of every month. That's what you do with a credit card. You do not let it continue to accrue. Now, if you're deep into credit card debt or you do need a loan, it's better to go to either a credit union or a bank and get a personal loan or a personal line of credit, because you will be able to get that loan or that line of credit a simple interest for a fraction of the cost. In other words, you could probably get unsecured line of credit anywhere from 3 to 6 to 7%. It's a lot less than a credit card, right? So if you have that debt, and you can, what you can do, you can go to the bank. You can do your own debt consolidation. You don't have to get any counseling. Just get approved, a small, modest loan, local bank, pay off the credit cards, it's done. And then you're left with that small amount of interest, and so you can start hitting what's called the principal. You guys know the difference between principal and interest? Principal is the balance you owe. The interest is what's accrued on that balance. So how many of you guys would rather pay 6 or 7% on the principal? Yeah? Than 23 or 27, okay? That's called debt consolidation, okay? So what I'm saying to you is a lot of people don't realize this. They go right to the credit card because it's there. No, take the time, pray, go down to a bank, pray some more, and let them work with you to get something a lot more reasonable, okay? It's out there. It's just we don't think about it. How many of you guys have ever heard that you should cut up all your credit cards, right? Man, just pay off those credit card debts, cut them off. Don't do that, okay? Don't cut up your credit cards. So what people don't tell you now, I know Dave Ramsey is a big thing. He's big about not getting into debt at all. Gang, unless somebody has $500,000 in cash sitting around somewhere, you're going to have to go into debt in order to purchase a home, right? Especially here in Hawaii. That's just the reality. Or you're going to need a loan if you're going to start some kind of a small business, right? So it's kind of hard to totally stay out of debt. I mean, some people believe you can do that. I'm not that big of a proponent of it. But I think you want to stay out of debt as much as possible. The reason you don't want to cut up your credit card and the reason that you don't want to call and cancel that card is if you have had that credit card for a long time, maybe 10 years, there is this little guy called FICO, Fair Isaac Corporation, and what they do is that's called your credit score, and your credit score will drop to the bottom if you cancel that account, because you will have also unwittingly cut off your credit history. You lose it. So pay the card off, keep it open, tape it to a folder, put it away in a safe somewhere, I don't care what you do with it, so you don't use it. Once a year you buy something, pay it off immediately, and just keep that line of credit open, because what's going to happen is you're going to go to Credit Karma or something like that. And if you pay all your bills on time, they have about 5 criteria. If you pay all your bills on time, if your credit history, what I just told you about, the length of the time you've had that credit open, okay, if they tell you, they're going to look at, do you have any derogatory marks? Are you way past overdue on anything? And how much utilization of your credit is there? In other words, credit cards, the general rule is whatever credit you have, you want to be 30% or less. 30% or less. The reason you want to be 30% or less, you want to have a good credit history, you want everything to be paid off on time, because you're going to start seeing your score go up every month. You're aiming for around 700. 720 is the perfect number. Why do I say that? Because one day you're going to have to go in and get a loan to get a mortgage. You're going to have to get a mortgage, and you want that mortgage percentage to be low, right? The lower the percentage on your mortgage, basically, the lower your monthly payment is going to be. So that's why, basically, a credit score is important. So you have the FICO score, and most of you guys, that has to do with credit cards, a FICO score. You also have what's called a Vantage score, and that's just another scoring system. There's about three credit bureaus out there. I know that's, for some of you, that might be a live information. Some of you guys already know this stuff, but I want to let you know the reality of what's out there, yeah? We live in this system, and like it or not, we might not like FICO. Oh, I hate you, FICO. We might not like it, but we have to work with it, because that's a system that's been set up. But we can have wisdom, amen, in how we approach this. We do not want to be a slave. Anybody here want to be a slave? Please, nobody say yes. So try as much as possible to stay out of debt. Here's another one, and this might hit a sore spot for some of you. Avoid co-signing loans. Maybe you're financially doing all right. Proverbs 22, 26, 27 says, "Be not one of those who give pledges, who put up security for debts, if you have nothing with which to pay. Why should your bed be taken from under you?" That's not a pretty picture, is it? Is somebody coming in? Okay, we are repossessing your bed. Wait, what? What's going on? I haven't had coffee yet this morning. What the proverb is saying is, when you put up security, basically that's called collateral, okay? When you have an auto loan, it's backed by collateral. The collateral, or the security, is the car itself. When you have a mortgage, that mortgage is secured by collateral, or it's secured by the house itself. If you don't pay for your car, someone sneaks in and takes it and goes bye-bye. If you don't pay your bill and it goes into default on your mortgage, house goes back to the bank, right? So that's securing credit. You got to be careful, because you're securing it with your assets, what you have, what you own. It's bad enough trying to stay out of personal debt, but when you basically sign, you're a co-signer on a loan because somebody, maybe it's your kid, okay? Let's get real here. Maybe it's your kid, maybe it's your grandkids. You know, oh, grandma, oh, auntie, oh, uncle, oh, mom, oh, dad, oh, you know, my credit score is only like, well, I don't have one right now, but, oh, you know, I really want this car. Oh, you know, I really want this thing right here. Oh, you know, I want this phone or whatever, right? They want to buy something, and it requires credit, requires that you co-sign on there, you guarantee. The moment you sign that, no, you're saying, I will take full responsibility for their debt. And guess what? If all of a sudden they're like, oh, I can't pay. Oh, well, mom or dad will, right? Grandma or grandpa will. And I've seen people get into trouble this way, okay? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? The Bible says this probably at least 10 different times in the scriptures. Don't go sign on a loan. Don't go sign on a loan. Don't go sign on a loan. I'm thinking that's good wisdom. Now, I know that we are compassionate people, and God says, you know, oh, you got to take care of your family. It is far better to give the small amount of cash you have on your person than to sign for the money that has not come in yet. Amen? Anybody? And that's another thing. Don't lend to family. Pastor, just say that? Don't be lending to your family and friends. What's wrong with you? Don't lend to them. You need to charge them interest. Don't lend to them. Can I borrow this? Can I borrow this? You give it to them. You give to your family and friends. Amen? You don't, Christians, we don't lend unless you're a bank. Are you a bank? Anybody here a bank? If you're not a bank, don't lend. Somebody is in need, a stranger, right? They need food. You give them food. I know a lot of people will like to give cash. Sometimes there's the guys that are doing the panhandling on the side of the road. I got kind of mixed feelings sometimes because I know some of them do it as a profession. And it's kind of hard to tell, well, who's out here professionally? One guy had a sign that says, I just want a beer. Why lie? And I thought, well, he's honest. But here's the thing, and that's really up to your discretion, who you give to and whatnot. But give, gang. We don't lend. We just give, right? Just give what you have. God's given it to you. It's not yours. It's all his. We're just to take care of his resources and use them as he wills, right? Now, you might be wondering, well, that's great, Dave, if I had some money to give. Well, let's talk about living on a budget. Oh, this is the B word. Oh, no, budget. Here we go. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. You know what that means? Just what it says. If we're diligent and we make a plan, you're going to do good. But if you're hasty, in other words, you're just like, oh, man, just spend here, spend there. Just don't think about what you're doing. You're going to come to poverty. So a budget, okay, is a spending plan. Now, you might be thinking, well, this is, some of you might be thinking, well, this is real basic. I mean, I kind of know it's when we get to the good stuff, Dave. Some of you guys are young that haven't started out yet. Basically, all you guys back row. No. Think of this. Let Uncle tell you something, okay? You want to start out budgeting. This is how, you might have noticed in your paycheck, some of you guys have just started working or have only been working about a year or two. You'll notice in your paycheck, there's this dude, FICA, and he takes a lot of stuff. That's different than FICO. FICO is just a number, but FICA makes you bleed. He will just, all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute, FICA, and then there's the state of Hawaii, and everybody gets a piece of the pie. Everybody. So at least the federal government is going to take a little bit less this year. Yeah. So your employer's got a note called the Form 1036, and some of you guys should hopefully start seeing a little bit more in your paychecks. But I'm not going to get into W-4s and things like that. It gets a little more advanced. I don't want to get into trouble here. You have the stuff that's, you don't realize how much is taken out in taxes. And so you have that what's called your net income, okay? Your net income, you've got to figure out, how do you do a budget? Well, you can do this. You want to keep track of income and expenses. You can go to Long's and you get yourself a little ledger, or Walmart or wherever, and you get yourself a ledger. A ledger is basically this booklet, has a bunch of lines in it, and you basically put your, keep track of your expenses. Some of you guys are more savvy with a computer. You can use a spreadsheet. You can use Quicken. But what you need to do is first, do you even know how much you make? Please don't raise your hands. Some people do not know how much they make, like because the other person in the family does all the finances. Okay. It's good. You guys got to talk to each other. It's good that you rely on one of you guys to do the finances, but you guys should both talk. I do the finances in our family, but Tammy and I both talk about everything. So you want to know how much is coming in. Just write it down. Write down how much is coming in out of your paycheck after taxes, all right? The next thing you need to do is you need to know everything that's going out. I know it sounds really simple. But How many regular bills do you guys have? What do you have? Car payment, car insurance, life insurance, mortgage payment, rent, utility bill, maintenance fees. Okay, write all that stuff down. Those things should not change month to month. They should stay the same, except for utilities like gas and electric. And the ways to save on your utility bill is basically, for most of you guys that run the AC or going to run the AC in the summer, there's this little thing on there called Power Save. Use that. I push that on, saves me $100 a month in my little apartment, okay? You have your light bulbs, right? Gang, it is the 21st century. Change to LEDs. LEDs do not emit as much heat, and they will cost a fraction of what it costs to run an incandescent or a CFL light bulb, okay? LEDs are a little more expensive. They're still kind of new. Put them all throughout your house. It's going to save money. So you can lower your utilities. You can lower your gas. The other thing, and then here's the hard part. And this is the part where sometimes people give up. Yeah, but don't give up. You need to record all consumables for 3 months. Then you're going to average them. Okay, and this is going to get you what you spent on a monthly average. The reason you need to do it 3 months is because, you know, Longs doesn't always have the sale at the same time on the same stuff, right? You know, Safeway has $5 Fridays. How many can say amen? So you're looking for sales. You know, you go to Costco, you're pretty much going to get what you're going to get, unless they happen to be out of the yogurt the time that you go. And it's really irritating because it took a long time finding a parking space in Costco. You know what I mean? So, but generally, what you want to do is you want to record all your consumables. What do I mean by consumables? Everything that you eat, your dining out, your groceries, your toilet paper, your rice, all that stuff, okay? Write it all down, and I mean everything. Here's a good way to do it. If you pay for, whether you pay cash or credit, always get a receipt. Come home, dump all your receipts in an old coffee can or a bucket, okay? At the end of the month, or maybe once a week, if you don't want to be overwhelmed, depending upon how much you like to just indiscretionally spend, you need to calculate that. You need to write everything down, and you total it, and then you'll get a monthly total. Then when you've done that for 3 months, I want you to go ahead, add them all up, divide by three. That is your monthly expenditure. Okay? That's a budget. That's it. And you might be wondering, well, you know, we eat out a lot. Uh-huh. And you're going to find out how much that cost you. And you know what? If you're going to Starbucks every day, and it's like $5 every day of the work week, and you got 4 work weeks in the month, that's $100 for coffee. My suggestion, you know, there's nothing like waking up than Folgers in your cup. I know that they leave it on all day at work and it's burnt in the bottom and whatever, but you know, it's better to drink that stuff, swamp water, than, because I like coffee, or make it at home, then you're going somewhere getting all the specialty things. Eating out is going to kill you. Have anybody noticed McDonald's prices have gone up? I don't know if they think they're fine dining or what's going on with that, but what? McDonald's. Whatever, man. I thought this was like fast food. So now it makes you fat and it's expensive. At least, you know, some make you fat, but it tastes good. You know, it's like, oh, this is so good. So eating out is great and everything, but, you know, make a plan. Make a plan. Know what you spend. Once you know what you spend, then you're conscious of it. Then you know when you're going to work, you're like, oh, I'm going to stop by. Oh, heck no. I'm going to keep going, right? Because you know what you're going to do when you go to that place. You know, Dunkin' Donuts just has a drive-through now. Oh, that was some dangerous stuff, man. These coffee places have drive-throughs? I don't even have to get out of my car. I just drive through. Gang, it's a trap. It's a trap. So I'm not down in any of the, I'm putting out a lot of names. This will be interesting. Disclaimer, I'm not putting down any of these places. All I'm saying is just be cognizant, be aware of what is going out of your pocket. Okay? Is this good? Okay. So let's talk a little bit about planning for the future. Okay, so basically, you want to plan for the future. There's three things that you want to look at when you think about the future. One, give to God, right? I mean, God says he'll bless you, right? He even says it again, Proverbs. This is back in 1010 BC, about 3,000 years old, right? Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. So when I say first fruits, that's where I get from. First fruits. In other words, that's the first of when the farmers would farm, that was the first of the harvest, right? So they would bring in the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Keep in mind this is agrarian. So I know that nobody has any wine vats in their house. At least I don't think you guys have wine vats. This is back in the day where that again, it's an agrarian society. Probably not even, I mean, you had some printed money, but that's a person who's doing really well. If your barns are full, I mean, if you've ever lived on a farm, if your barns are full, that's a great thing, right? Means that you store that grain. See, they have grain. Those big silos that you see, that stores grain. That's stuff that makes bread, okay? That's survival. And so what the proverb is saying here is if you give to God, if you make giving to God a priority, God will make sure that you are sustained. Isn't that cool? That's his promise. He'll sustain you. You won't have to worry. You can be at peace. And really, if you think about it, Jesus said what? Store up your treasure in heaven, right? We really cannot measure. I mean, when you give to the church or when you give to Compassion International or you give to an organization, you cannot fully measure what's happening in the kingdom of God, how far your dollar has gone to bring eternal life, something that's invaluable, something that is just, you cannot measure. So it's always good giving to the kingdom. Amen? It's always good. And so that should be our first priority. Now, you might be thinking, well, why didn't you put that first? Well, when you have money left over, after you've gotten yourself out of debt, you've learned to budget, here you go. Well, what do I do? Well, first, think about the Lord. What do I give? Well, the Bible says in the New Testament, whatever you decide in your heart between you and God, give to him, give cheerfully. Amen? That's what it says. You know, some people say 10%. Some people some pastors will take that and abuse it, unfortunately. You know, it's between you and God. It's a faith thing. Amen? It's a faith thing. And we've been here 20 years, and I have faith that God speaks to you, and we're still here. So praise God. That all works, right? The next thing is give to others. Okay, so give to the kingdom of God, but also set aside something Tammy and I have done over the years is, and really even when we had a little bit, when we had more, we tried to have money available that when somebody is in need, we can help them out. We just have basically one rule. I mean, we've done it anonymously, but we just have one rule. Don't talk about this. I know, it's so... Don't say anything. This is like, really, it's just nobody's business between us and God, right? So You know, but just, and I've seen so much generosity with you guys in church. It's amazing. I know the stories here and the stories of people that have been here, just the generosity has been absolutely amazing. So I've seen this principle really worked out. When somebody is here and they're going without or they're having a hard time, somebody else will come right alongside them. I think Harvin was sharing something last week about that. So just, you know, be willing to give to others. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So God will take care of you, right? Now, save for the future. Now, I know some guys are out there, they say, you know, Jesus asked the rich young ruler to sell all his possessions and follow him. Well, you know what? If God told you to do that, fine. But for most people, we were born in America. And we were born in one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest nation on the face of the planet. And by the way, we live in one of the most expensive places in the nation. God put us here. I don't feel shame for that. So we need to save for the future. Amen? We need to plan. And again, it's not lack of faith. It's in the Bible. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Isn't that cool? In other words, somebody's like, hey, I got a deal for you. Hey, there's a stock, man, that just took off. Yeah. So that opportunity is over now. Wow, there's this Bitcoin thing. You keep hearing about Bitcoin. Anything that happened, it's happened. See, when you begin to hear about that stuff, a lot of it's happened already. And so you buy in on something, and all of a sudden the value goes down. You got to be careful. Stocks are individual stocks. Okay, let me say this. There's a difference. Individual stocks of like one company could go way up, could go one down. You don't want to put everything into one stock. If you have at one point and it's gone up in value, if you had shares in a company you work for, that's one thing. What do we have as a means of saving? Right now, if you put something in the bank, try to earn interest, it's like 0.0000094 whatever percent. Yeah, so don't bother with CDs. Don't bother with those savings accounts. Until the Fed starts raising interest rates, they are raising the interest rate. They'll eventually go up. But still, probably for retirement, your best bet right now is your company offers you a 401k. You guys have heard of that, right? Right now, you probably, within about a week or so, you will get a form to voluntarily take from the gross income of your 401, or your gross income that you get, and it'll go into the 401k. Here's the cool thing about that, and I'm glad they left it alone in the tax law, is that anything that you contribute to your 401k savings plan is deducted from the taxable income federally. So in other words, you don't pay tax on it until later on when you take it out. It's called deferred. You guys know that? How many of you guys have never heard that before? Okay. So that's called deferred taxes. And basically, but what you might not know is they have all these models and you can put yourself into all this stuff. Generally, you can select a mutual fund. Make sure that you look at what they're charging you because you're thinking, wow, man, I made 10% this year. But if they're charging you 2% and then this fee over here and it's like 3% they're taking out, oh, my gosh. Maybe I only got 6 point something or 7. So be careful. Make sure that you read what is the operating expense of those funds. And so when you put into something like a 401k, it's a great thing. But, again, don't let that be your only thing. Okay? The stock market does go up, it goes down, but that's long term, right? You put in a little bit and it goes long term. But again, we have faith in God, amen? So, but that's one tool that you can use. There is another kind of account, it's called a Roth IRA, a Roth individual retirement account, and you can take money and put into that account, not through your employer. You personally have to open one up. You can do it online, you can put into the account. And You will not get taxed on that money when you take it out. And so what a lot of people do is they put something, some in at their work, up, and if they do matching, you do it up to whatever they'll match. And then what you do is you go put it the other, if you wanted to put that in a Roth, you can put that in a Roth. That's an, one way that people do that. There are many other things out there. Again, I can't get into a lot of detail. I got some friends that do some things. And again, that gets into their territory. I'm not going to try and sell you anything today. But I do want you to be wise. Is this helpful? It's good. There is a lot more information that I can share with you today, but we have a limited amount of time. But let me just say, in investing, here's another thing you might be thinking, wow, I've got a mortgage, okay? Now, you might be tempted to refinance, because if you refinance, you get the lower percentage, and you can get another couple hundred a month, or maybe 300 a month. Wow, wow, that'd be really great. But it's not so great. And I don't mean to bum you out if you have refinanced. We've done that before. When you refinance, you're basically, let me explain a mortgage. What? Oh, we don't really have time for that, but let me just really briefly explain the, what a mortgage is. A mortgage is not like a credit card with simple interest. A mortgage is an amortized form of a loan. What does amortized mean? It means what they do is they calculate your payments for 30 years, and then they push all the principal to the back and all the interest up front. And so you are already out of, if you've got a mortgage of, say, $1,500 a month, chances are probably about $1,000 to $1,200, most of it is interest. You're barely even scratching the surface of the principal. That's why it takes 30 years. So you pay for all this interest. An average 30-year mortgage, what you are paying is 2 to 2.5 times, or you're basically paying 102% interest on your house. You, if you own a 500, if you bought a $500,000 house, if you take 30 years to pay it off, you'll have paid $1.2 million for that house. Are you shocked? Now are you listening? Okay, so again, I have some friends that can help you. There's other ways to do this, but you need to understand what you're doing. When you refinance your house, you are paying your mortgage off with another mortgage. So say you're 10 years into this puppy, right? You've got 20 years left. But you're struggling. I need to find extra money. So you think, oh, refinance. Then you start a 30-year mortgage. You have just started your entire mortgage over again. You've added 10 years on to your existing mortgage, 10 years of payments. So even if they've gone down to $1,200 a month, you just signed up to pay $1,200 a month for a house for 10 more years. It's getting real quiet, isn't it? There is a way that works in Hawaii, and I'll introduce you to some guys. I'll talk to you more about that. It gets real technical, but basically, there is a way that you can do better in that. You can have financial freedom. You know, again, it gets more complicated than I can go into right now, but let me just say this. Start with getting out of debt. Make yourself a budget, okay? That is the most important thing. Make yourself a budget and stick to it. And if you are still unsure about how to budget, give me a call. Give me a call. I've got friends. I'll help you. Okay? I know it's a real sensitive area. You don't have to tell me everything about what you buy and all that stuff. But I'll help walk you through the process because I love you and I want you to be prospering. Amen? And I want you to be able to get ahead of the game, because living here, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's a little expensive. Amen. And so we want to get ahead. And let me just close with this. Yeah, that's about it. That this, everything I'm saying here, it's all temporary. You know, we can make a plan, and then tomorrow we get a real 15-minute warning. So my advice is plan like you're going to be here another 30, 40, 50 years, whatever. But in your heart, know that you can be gone in the twinkling of an eye. And you know what? There's no 15-minute warning for the rapture, ladies and gentlemen. It's in an instant. So be ready. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. We bless your name. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity of sharing this information. And I pray that it is helpful to us in planning, Lord. And it will help alleviate maybe some of our worries, some of our anxiety, Lord, because we know that this area can cause a lot of worry and anxiety. And so, Lord, we just give it up to you. Give everything to you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We believe in you. We have faith in you that this is going to be a great year for ministry, for touching the lives of the people around us. Help us to be generous in our hearts and graceful, Lord, towards your work and towards the needs of others as well, Lord, as you bless us, Lord. May we be able to pay that on and bless others as well. We love you. We worship you. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, you guys have a great week.